There we go. Thank you. Sorry. But glad you guys are back. I'd have come and got you before we let you stay out there. Amen. 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 So praise the Lord. They are back. Any other prayer requests? Can't imagine. Man. There's a lot of that going on right now. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord, my man Glenn got him a job yesterday. Yeah, he had a job, but he got a better job. So that was his prayer, and God answered it. So, he was in a pretty ugly wreck last week. I don't see a scratch on you. You're a little sore, but Lord kept him safe there, and all the insurance stuff is working out. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey. Amen. Amen. We praise the Lord that you guys are able to be with us. Praise the Lord for giving you that job. So you pray for him as he starts Wednesday, next Wednesday, right?
Yep.
Be down at utility. So you pray for him there. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for Dave.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
And the church had a mission. And so I don't know how long we're going to stay there because there, of course, electricity was out.
Even that far up, huh?
Well, not there, but we're their home.
Oh, gotcha.
Electricity was going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Was their church affected?
Yes. But it wasn't too bad.
Amen. Yeah, can I catch? Well, praise the Lord for that.
They just had a roof put on the house.
Well.
From another store.
I bet insurance agents don't like Louisiana when it comes to that stuff.
We almost moved there, but the insurance and cost of living was so high that we just couldn't do it. Thank you, Lord.
I'm very glad you didn't for many reasons, Miss Doris. Number one being, we're glad you're here. Amen. Amen. Yeah. 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 Well, we praise the Lord that you're here and you're not there. Amen. We'll pray for Brother Dave. Any other prayer? Yes, sir. Amen. 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 God can do it.
Yep.
Hey, we got the football team coming, man.
Yep. That's a good way to start.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. So pray for Josh's unspoken request and his mama. So now she's got a hurt foot and she got to deal with your dad.
Yeah.
So pray for her. Pray for me tomorrow. This is like a serious prayer request, but I guess it's a funny one too. I'll be going to Tennessee football game, be traveling. So you just pray for safe travels tomorrow. Pray for me if they were to, on an off chance, lose. Pray for my spirit. I got that out of the way. We'll see how I feel about it later. Miss Shirley, you may have to rep orange for me if we get beat. I don't know if I can do it. So pray for us as we go down there. We'd have safe travel tomorrow. Anything else? Well, if nothing else, Brother Steve, would you pray for us? Amen. So we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 tonight. 2 Chronicles 30. As we continue our, character study of Hezekiah, just learning lessons from his life. We were in chapter 29 last week. We're in chapter 30 this week. This is a very... very special passage. Well, there are a few other passages in the Bible that similar things like this happen. And this thought has been on my heart for a long time. That you see there, the power of remembering. The festivals in the Bible, tonight the one we're going to be looking at is the Passover, were given not just as a time of celebration where everybody got to have a meal like we do at Christmas time or Thanksgiving, but was designed to be a time where they took a step back and considered what God had done in their lives, who they were now because of what God had done for them. And I think that is it, that is very important for us as Christians to do, because I don't know about you, but a lot of times in my life, because I got saved at a very young age, and I praise God for that, but it's like there have been times in my life where I've almost become numb to the fact that I've been saved, numb to the gospel because I've heard it so much, because I haven't taken time really to stop and think and focus. Hey, that's what I was. That's what God did for me, and this is who I am today because of what He did. And that's why God gave them these festivals that we see in the Bible. They weren't just times of celebration, but they were times of remembrance. And we're going to see tonight that there is power in remembering what God has done for us. When I mean remember, I mean concentrating on, meditating on, thinking about, just turning over in our mind what God has really done. See, because there's a, I'll be honest with you, when I got saved, and I'm sure when you got saved too, I didn't really understand what all just happened to me. And we could spend the rest of our life searching the pages of Scripture, learning just what happened at that moment of our salvation and what God is doing now. But if we're not careful, we'll get so focused with the things of this life, we'll take our eyes off of that, and we'll get in the position Israel's in here. They hadn't had a Passover in a very long time because of the wicked kings. So they hadn't really remembered in a while what God did for them. And remember, we saw how wicked they were, and Hezekiah has started a reform. And now his next step is reinstituting the Passover, which was a biblical command. And we're going to look at that tonight. So 2 Chronicles chapter 30, beginning in verse number 1. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that's from top to bottom, every part of it, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And now ye like your father, and be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars from incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers, for every one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like in Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to the holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. So we see tonight, I want to talk about the power of remembering. Now, I want to point out something very important. You can go there, you don't have to, but I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, where God warned them, he cautioned them that they needed to be careful to remember what he did for them, what he had brought them out of. He talks about in Deuteronomy 8, verse number 7, For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, and land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So God was, we know God was planning on blessing them. But look what it says in verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So he charged them to remember, because they were about to go into a land that God gave them, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that was wonderful and beautiful and fertile, a land that was just wonderful, but they didn't do anything to get it. And we've got to be careful not to be like that. We know that's exactly what they did. They got in a land, they forgot the Lord. And we've got to be careful, because we have been blessed. God's been good to us. And if we don't remember what God has done, take time to step back and think about and just consider what God has done for us and where he's brought us from, we'll fall into the same trap that Israel did. But one way to kind of encourage them, I believe, to remember were the feasts that God gave them, and the most important of that being the Passover. So now back to our passage of Scripture. I'm going to try to move through this very quickly as we look about the power of remembering. First thing I want to point out, the command to remember. Verse 1, it says, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel." So they were commanded to keep the Passover. What was the purpose of the Passover, what was the Passover about? It was a feast where they remembered, really, ultimately, their salvation from Egypt. Remember, they had fallen under the bondage of Egypt for 400 years. They had been suffering, and God heard their cry. And remember, God brought the 10 plagues, and the final one was the death angel that came through. But God told Israel, kill the lamb, strike the doorposts, and if I see the blood, I will pass over you. And see, that was the beginning of the Exodus, really. When the death angel came through, the firstborn of Egypt died. That was the final straw that God used to turn Israel loose from Egypt, and that was what got them out of Egypt. And the Passover is them remembering what God did for them on that night. God could have killed them, but he didn't. He gave them a way out, which was blood that was shed. And we see that the Passover was remembering their salvation, but we see also in it a picture, a representation of the Savior. See, for them, they're looking back at their salvation, but the Passover was pointing toward Jesus. Because remember, he was the true and final Passover lamb. The blood that was put on the doorpost was a picture of his sacrifice for their sins. They didn't do anything to earn it. They were just obedient to God and trusted in the shed blood to save them from death. And that's what we're doing. That's what God did for them. So they were commanded to remember. The Passover was remembering their salvation, a representation of the Savior. The purpose of the Passover was celebration and consecration. It was a time just to reflect on what all God had done for them. And we're going to see here in a little while, as you think about what God has done for you, really focus on it, you can't help but get right with God. Like, if you really stop and think about what God, who you were before you got saved. The other night at the camp meeting we went to, one man gave a very powerful testimony. Man, he had been through it and then been through it again. And I've never experienced anything that he went through. It was awful. And I praise the Lord, he saved him out of it. But I was telling him afterwards, I got saved as an 8-year-old boy. And as an 8-year-old boy, I was just as lost. So many times people say God had to reach way down to get me out of the pit. God had to reach way down, just as far down to get me. I would have went to the same hell that young man would have went to if he had not got right with God. See, we've got to realize that no matter how good we are, if we don't know Jesus, we all deserve the same hell. We're all the same type of sinners. That's why when it talked about in the New Testament, I believe Jesus says, they that are forgiven much loves much. It's not that somebody's forgiven more than the other, it's just that one realizes they're forgiven more than the other. So that's why we need to stop, to take a step back and focus on what God has done for us. It reminds us of who we are, really, and who God is and what he did for us. So we see the purpose was celebration and consecration. They celebrated what God had done, and that, as they thought about that, at least it should have caused them to consecrate themselves to God. But so we see that was the command to remember. We see, secondly, the cumbrances or hindrances to remembering. I'm going to expand your vocabulary tonight because I got a couple words at least. I'm not sure if they're words, but you may, if you can't pick them out, amen. I'm not going to point them out. I just want to let you know that I'm going to expand your vocabulary if you're not prepared for it, though. So the cumbrances or, and I'm pretty sure that is a word, cumbrances to remembering or the hindrances to. We see verse number 3, they want to have the Passover, but they had to have it in the second month instead of the first, because the first month is when it's supposed to happen. That's when it was designed. But they did have, they gave a stipulation where if you can't do it in the first, you can do it in the second. It's supposed to happen on the 14th day of the first month. Little tidbit of information, the very first Passover was on the 10th day of the first month, which on their calendar was April the 10th. My spiritual birthday is April the 10th. I found that out as I was reading through the Bible, and I learned that. So the Passover and my spiritual birthday, the first one, are the same day, which is pretty cool. But the hindrances to this was sin, we see first in verse number 3, for they could not keep it at the time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Sin hindered them. Now, we can remember the date worse. It's not like if we got sin in our lives, we get an amnesia and I forget what day I got saved. That's not going to happen, Lord willing. But we can lose focus of what happened, of what God did. It's just the miracle and really the joy of our salvation. That's why David said in Psalm 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If we're saved, we're saved forever. But we can lose that joy. We can lose that fellowship. And sin is the biggest thing that breaks us, that fellowship and takes away that joy. And they couldn't celebrate the Passover and focus on the goodness of God first because they had sin in their lives. And if we've got sin in our lives, we cannot enjoy our salvation. We can't do it. We can't enjoy the fact that we can't focus on and celebrate like we're supposed to as we focus on our salvation if we've got sin in our life. And because there was sin, we see also the talk about their fathers. And here's one of the words. I know stiff-necked is there, but stiff-neckedness, I don't know. But stiff-neckedness, we see verse number 7. They had sin, but also they had stiff necks. They were determined, at least their parents were, to live in sin, and that had carried over into the children, I believe. Verse number 7, be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation. I don't know if that's the right verse. There's a verse that talks about stiff-neckedness. I wrote down the wrong one. Verse number 8, we're close. Amen. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary. So they are stiff-necked like their fathers, resolute in their sin. So they had sin, they were stiff-necked, and if you continue in sin long enough, you see the next thing is there will be senselessness. You continue in sin. That's why the Bible talks about a conscience seared with a hot iron. There will come a time where you're not as sensitive to sin as you once were. If you let sin in your life long enough, even as a child of God, it'll go and it'll go and it won't hurt more, it'll hurt less. You let it hang around, it'll get worse and worse and worse, and you'll just be desensitized to your sin. And if you're a true child of God and you're in a place where sin doesn't bother you at all, that is a very dangerous place to be. And I believe that God, in his mercy and grace, in cases I've heard of, well, it takes very drastic measures in those situations. But they were senseless in verse number 10. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh unto Zebulun. But listen at this. As they're going, say, hey, let's have the Passover. The king says, it's time to do the Passover back in Jerusalem. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. They didn't want anything to do with the Passover, celebrating God's goodness to them. They had become desensitized to spiritual things and desensitized to their sin. So that are the encumbrances or hindrances to remembering sin, stiff-neckedness, and senselessness. But then we see, thirdly, the course back to remembering. I praise the Lord in the Bible. The Lord doesn't leave us hanging. The Bible does a very good job at helping us understand who we are, what we deserve, helping us see our sin. But I thank God the Bible doesn't leave us there. And we've got to be careful as we share the gospel, as we witness to people, not to leave people there. Not to help them understand they're a sinner and just leave them hanging. I've heard preachers before who peeled the paint off the walls, making people feel like the biggest low-down, dirty, rotten people in the world, which is good because they preach the Bible, but then they cut the sermon off and basically ended the service and left people there feeling like dogs and no way to fix it. And I thank God he doesn't do that. I praise the Lord. He gives them a way back to get right, to get prepared so that they can have the Passover. We see first there must be recognition. Must be a recognition, and you all know that. I'm going to point out Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. If they were going to get anywhere with God, and if we're going to today, we've got to recognize our sin. We can't be like David when he sinned with Bathsheba and just try to forget about it for over a year. We're going to have to bring it to the forefront and deal with it and agree with God about it. And all three of these points are kind of interconnected and very close to being the same, but a little different. We've got to recognize it, but then we've got to repent of it. Got to confess and forsake it, like it says in Proverbs 28:13, verses 6 and 7. Look what the Bible says. So the posts went with letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. So he gave them a way to make it right. Turn from your sin. Recognize it. Turn from it. But not only turn from it, we see next they must redirect and begin to do what's right. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. So they said, make an about face, turn from your sin, and begin to do what's right. That's what repentance is. It's not just confessing of sin, but it's turning around and beginning to do what is right. If they wanted to have a Passover that would create in them a clean heart and get them where they needed to be with the Lord as they reflected upon his goodness to them, they had to deal with their sin. They had to recognize their sin, repent of their sin, and redirect from it back to what they should have been doing. And I praise God. Fourthly, we see when the Bible tells us, if, like it says 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. We see, fourthly, the compassion for repentance. Verse number 9, for if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren, your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again to the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if ye return unto Him. I praise God that we've got a merciful and gracious God. I praise the Lord that when we fall, He could throw us in the trash and be done with us, but He's not. If we'll recognize our sin, repent of it, and redirect away from it, He will have compassion. He will have mercy. And He's done that a lot for me. And I praise the Lord for that. And Israel, and God demonstrates His mercy and His grace to Israel, because you read the whole Old Testament and time after time they turned their back on Him. But because they were His chosen people, because He loved them, He promised that if they would repent, He would forgive. And I praise the Lord for that. So we see the compassion for repentance. And now, so they're right with God as we go into this. And we see the consequences of remembering, the consequences of them having the Passover. And if we'll take time in our lives every so often, this is why I've even thought about when Jasper and Ruby get saved, and I've mentioned this here before, having a birthday party on their spiritual birthday. I've really seriously thought about that, because that would be a big day to, hey, remember, this is what God did for you this day. I mean, really stop and think about it. And we can invite all our friends and family over and have a party. But what a gospel opportunity. Hey, it's however many years ago, I could say 21 years ago, this is what God did for me. And as I step back and think about what all God did for me, it begins to make a change in me. It begins to make me want to change. Look what it did for them. The consequences of remembering. First, we see there was rapport. They came together. God gave them one heart. You see, if when we all realize who we are and what God's done for us, it will unify us more. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandments of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. When they began to do what God told them to, began to remember God's goodness to them, God gave them one heart to do the work. And if we'll focus on God and what He's done for us, and we'll not take for granted His mercy on us low-down, rotten sinners in saving our soul, and when we're focused on who He is and who we really are, it will unify us. It'll help us to remember, as it and Israel remembered this. When they think back to the stories they heard, because a lot of these kids weren't there, but they've heard it, or they hadn't heard it in a while, but their family had heard it before. They remember they were just slaves in a foreign land, living on basically nothing. Then that's what we deserve. We before we were saved, we were slaves to sin. But God in His mercy heard their cry and saved them from Egypt. And that's exactly what He did for us. We were slaves to sin. And we deserved hell. And that's where we were going. But God convicted us of our sins. And if you're saved, you called upon His name. And He was faithful to His word. Saved your soul. Forgave your sins. Gave you the hope of heaven. And now you are righteous in the eyes of God. God did that for us wretched, low-down sinners, just as He brought them from Egypt. And I praise His name for that. And when we focus on that, it will cause unity. But we see it will also cause, and we talked about it a moment ago, but it will cause repentance. Remember, repentance isn't a one-time thing. When you're saved, and I believe when you're even close to the Lord, I believe if someone's close to the Lord, they'll repent more, not less. You know why? Their sensitivity to sin is way higher. And I believe it did for them. Look at verse number 6 and 7. We read that earlier, but the sensitivity is higher, and they began to turn, and they began to do what the Lord had said to them. And we see also there is revelation. What I mean by that is they began to teach the Scriptures. They began to focus on the Word of God, which is where the real true power is. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. So they were preaching the word. See, that's what happens when you got a group of people focused on God and what He did for them, and just realizing who they are and who He is. The atmosphere will be unified. The atmosphere will focus on the Word of God. The atmosphere will be one of repentance. But also, obviously, when you go through this, there will be rejoicing. Verses 23 through 26. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep the other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep, and the promise, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. See, these people were getting right with God for the first time in a long time. And so many people say, some people may say the most miserable person in the world is a lost man on his way to hell living in a great sin, but I don't believe so. I can't imagine how miserable these people were. Just wallowing in sin for years under the awful kings. Remember, Ahaz was before him. And now they're told, hey, let's have the Passover, but first let's repent of our sin, confess it, and forsake it, get right with God, and then we can celebrate God's goodness and God's mercy to us. See, we can come to the church house, and it could be a great time of worship and praise if we, and I've talked about this before, get clean before we ever get here. It can be a very special time. And if believers get clean before they come to the house of God and they worship God in the house of God, filled with the heart of obedience and love, the Lord will manifest His presence and He will work in lost hearts. And He'll draw them to Himself. And church is a great place for believers to get right. But I believe if we want to see more lost souls saved, we need to get right before we ever get here. That's why I believe. So there's rapport, repentance, revelation, rejoicing, and look at this. Remember, they've been kind of chest poked out. Remember, God warned them of it, but I believe that's where they've been for a long time, talking about how they did it and what they had done and in their strength. But now, when their mind is where it needs to be, focusing on who they used to be and where God has brought them and what He did for them, there was reliance. Verse number 27, the Bible says, then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. See, back then they prayed toward the temple, because that's where God's presence was. Now we pray in the name of Jesus. But they began to rely on God again. They began to focus on Him again. I can't imagine how wonderful of a time those 14 days were. How long overdue it was. And may God help us never to fall into that deep pit where we've got sin in our life and we become stiff-necked and senseless and we can't enjoy what God's done for us. And the way to do that is to, as much as possible, as often as we can, really focus on and remember what God's done for us. And a great way to do that is get in the Bible. As you read the Scriptures, you'll be, with just about every page, reminded of what God's done for you. But so many times, and I love reading the Bible, but that's one thing the devil fights the most, I believe, is Bible reading, because he knows how beneficial and powerful it can be for you. But I encourage you to make it a point to take time every day to read His Word, to speak to Him in prayer, and just focus on and thank Him for what He's done for you. Thank Him for saving you. I'm ashamed to say there have been times in my life where I have prayed whole prayers for weeks at a time and never thanked Him for saving me. It's like I took it for granted. And if we take it for granted, that'll change the way we live. But if we think about it rightly, it will change the way we live in a very, very good way. So may God help us to remember. Hezekiah wanted Israel to remember because he knew if they remembered, it would change their life and the way they think and what they did. That was a big key to their revival. remembering what God had brought, where he had brought them from, and what he was doing, what he was doing and could do. There's power in remembering, and may God help us do that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it has spoken to our hearts tonight. Please help us to ever be mindful of your mercy and your grace and your goodness toward us. Help us, Lord, to remember daily. Really think about and focus on who we were before we got saved. How wicked we were. Not how many sins we committed, but just how wicked we were as a sinner on our way to hell. And Lord Jesus, what you did for us when you drew us to yourself, convicted us of our sin, and you were faithful to your word when we called upon your name and you saved our soul. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I believe these believers here tonight, thank you for saving them.